Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. Since we are celebrating 35 years of the church today, I want to talk about the church and talk about the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And so we are going to do that by looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to focus in on verse 10, but through verse 10, I am going to pull the rest of Ephesians through that one verse as we look at the church and what God has done to redeem a people for himself and why he has called the church and constituted it and what is the role and purpose of the church. And so we're going to do that by looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. But I am going to read all of chapter 3 for our edification. And so if you would, follow along with me as I read Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The reading of God's word. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for the church. We are thankful that you have gathered your people together in what is we call the church, that you have assembled them together for a purpose, that Father, that purpose is to display your manifold wisdom to the cosmic powers in the heavenly realms. And so, Father, as we are gathered together here today as your people, those who are redeemed, who have come to worship and honor your Son, Jesus Christ, may your wisdom be displayed. May Christ be exalted. And, Father, may you do a mighty work in our midst. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. In August 1986, a group of people, the founding members of this church, who had received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and had professed him as their Lord. They entered into covenant with one another, into one body in Christ, with the sole purpose, and I quote, to win men and women, boys and girls, to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to increase Christian faithfulness as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, to encourage individual Christians towards attaining the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to serve the community in every possible way, to send personnel and Christian influence through the world by gifts and prayers for missions. In other words, these members had covenanted together to proclaim the gospel, to edify one another, and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded. And so for 35 years, the gathered members known as North Stafford Baptist Church have endeavored to do just that. They have endeavored to proclaim the gospel through the faithful preaching of God's word, that they have endeavored to edify the saints through the worship of Jesus Christ and the teaching of his word, through Sunday school, through Bible studies. They have endeavored to love their neighbors through serving one another in the community, through flea markets and yard sales and face painting and all those type of things. That they have endeavored to go and make disciples of all nations, of every tribe, tongue, that they might come together and worship Jesus Christ. And now preaching and worship and service and discipleship and evangelism, these are all proper ends for the life of God's people, the church. They help accomplish God's chief purpose for his church. And the chief end, the chief purpose for what the church was created, was to glorify God. This is why the Apostle Paul writes at the end of chapter 3 here in verse 21 in his doxology, in his benediction, he says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The church, you see, exists to glorify God. Paul tells us in chapter 3 in verse 10 here, he says that it's through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And so this is his poetic way of saying that the church exists to display the glory of God. That is why the church exists. And so the question arises, how does the church glorify God? How does the church glorify God? Well, if we look back at what he says in verse 10, the church glorifies God by making known his manifold wisdom. And so we glorify God by making known his manifold wisdom in this world and to the cosmic powers, it says. Well, what is God's manifold wisdom? What is the manifold wisdom of God? Well, God's manifold wisdom is the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is Christ himself. That is the manifold wisdom of God. Therefore, the church, when it makes known God's manifold wisdom, it makes visible the gospel. It makes known Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And so how does North Stafford Baptist Church or any local church do that? How do we make the gospel visible? How do we display the manifold wisdom of God? How do we glorify him? Well, that is the answer that I want to answer. That is a question I want to answer for us today as we look at God's word here in Ephesians chapter 3, particularly verse 10. And there are three primary ways that a local church makes the gospel visible. And these three primary words can be summed up with the words gather, grow, and go. Which just happens to be the church's mission statement, so that will be easy for the members of this church to remember. Gather, grow, and go. Or if you like, pastors like alliteration, right? And so if you like, you can use rather gather, grow, or go. You can use exalt, edify, and evangelize. Exalt, edify and evangelize. And so a church is to gather together to exalt Christ. It is to grow together in the edification of Christ and by Christ. And it is to go together for the evangelization of all peoples for the glory of Christ. And so these three ways display the wisdom of God. They make visible the gospel. They glorify God. And so exalt, edify, evangelize, or gather, grow, and go. And so the first one, let us look at what the Word of God says here about how the gospel is made visible. And so first, as God's people gather together to exalt Christ, as we gather together as God's people to exalt Christ, we make the gospel visible. We display the manifold wisdom of God. And the Greek word here, in verse 10, Paul says, he says, it's through the church, that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. And so the first thing we need to understand is, what is the church? And the church is the gathered people of God. That's what the church is. It's the gathered people of God. And the Greek word here in verse 10 means assembly. The word church is the old English word, but the Greek word is assembly. Assembly. Assembly is people who are assembled together for a purpose, right? And so in the context then of verse 10 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, where Jesus first uses the word church, or Matthew 18, where he talks about discipline in the church, or the whole book of Acts, which talks about the church, or the entire New Testament for that matter. In that context then, a church is a people gathered together by God for the purpose of exalting Jesus Christ. That's what a church is, that they're a people gathered together by God for the purpose of exalting Jesus Christ. Now, 35 years ago, God called a group of Christians from Mount Ararat Baptist Church right down the road to come together to start North Stafford Baptist Church. And they came together as a people, as a gathered people, not as members of the Rotary Club or a country club, but rather as the redeemed people of God. And so they came together as the children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, and they came together for the purpose of worshiping and exalting Jesus Christ. And so God gathered them together into a local church. But first, before he gathered them into the local church, known as North Stafford Baptist Church, that when he redeemed them and when he redeemed everyone who is a Christian, he first gathered them into the universal church, who were born in Christ. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7, How did God gather them? Well, he redeemed them, starting in verse 7. In him, that is in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, in things on earth. And so God didn't do this 35 years ago, or even the day those members made a profession of faith that he gathered them. Rather, God has been gathering a people, his people, from the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says. If you go back verse 3 in chapter 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," that is God's people. He has blessed us, those who call themselves Christians, who are Christians, in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the redeemed. You see, God has redeemed his people from the foundation of the world and gathered together in an assembly that is to exalt Jesus Christ. And this is why the church is central to history. Now, maybe you haven't heard that before, but maybe your history teacher in class has told you something else is central to history. But it's the church that is central to history. John Stott, a famous British preacher and theologian, he's written this. He said, "The church lies at the center, the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. In fact, it is something that God had thought from the foundation, the beginning of the world, before the beginning of the world." In fact, if you turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 10, he has told us that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. In verse 11, then, he goes on to say that this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, from the very beginning, God had in mind to save his people. It wasn't an afterthought. There was no plan B. But from the very beginning, before God even created anything, his plan was to save a people for himself that would praise him and exalt his son, Jesus Christ. And when we look at the Bible, we see God working in his creation. We see God working out redemption in the people, starting with Abraham that he called to be a people for his own possession. And through Abraham, he made a great nation, and he called them to worship him. God unfolded his plan throughout history, and he culminated on the cross in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And God unfolded this wondrous mystery. He revealed it to us through the gospel. He revealed it to us that what he has been doing from eternity past to the present, and he will do so into the future. God's eternal purpose is worked out in history because he, only he, and he alone has complete control. God is sovereign over everything. And so part of his plan was the creating of a new humanity, and taking two humanities and making them one, the people of God who are united with Christ and united with one another. This is the mystery that Paul talks about in chapter 3 that I read at the beginning, this mystery that he has been given a commission to preach about, this mystery that was hidden for ages. It wasn't a secret. It just, what Paul means by mystery is that at a point it was revealed. Now it's an open secret. An open secret we are to tell everyone in that. And so Paul says here in verses 8 and 9 that it has been made known through the church. See, that's the manifold wisdom of God, the gospel, and it is the church who is to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make known what God has done from the very beginning, that in sending his son Jesus Christ in the flesh to die willingly on the cross for our sins and freeing us from sin and death. So as we celebrate 35 years of God working out his purpose in those assembled here at North Stafford Baptist Church, isn't it wonderful to know that even this little church is part of a great vision and plan? That we have the distinct pleasure of showing the world that history didn't just happen by chance, that it's not bunk, as Henry Ford once said. That it's not shaped by billionaires who can pay their way to space. They don't shape history, but it's God's story, and it's shaped by him and for the purpose of displaying his glory, not only to the world, Paul says, but here in verse 10, he says, to the cosmic powers in the heavenly realms. That God wants to reveal it not only to us, but to the angels in heaven, who Peter says long to see what God is doing, that they stoop down to see what God is about. You see, angels don't know everything. They're not God. And so we even display and make visible the gospel to angels, the church does. That is because we are glorifying God before them in that. Therefore, the church is important to history, and the church must be important in the life of every Christian. It's important because Christ died for the church. This is what Paul writes in Ephesians 5:25. It says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. See, the church is Christ's bride. And he died for the church. From the foundation of the world, God in us chose us in Jesus Christ to be his people. And he gathered us together in Christ Jesus. He placed each one of us in the universal church and then into a local church to worship him to the praise of his glorious grace. Amen. And but the people of God, the church is the gathered people of God. But and so what the church does as the gathered people of God is to make Christ known. That's what we're why we're the gathered people of God. We exist to make God Christ known. We don't exist for potluck luncheons, though those are good things, right? And we're going to have one afterwards. But we exist to make Christ known. In that, to bring the light, the gospel. In fact, that's what the word make known here. It means to bring the light. And so we bring it to light. We manifest the manifold wisdom of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? Make manifest God's wisdom? And particularly, what is God's wisdom? Well, let me start there. When he talks about the manifold wisdom of God, he is talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ, the gospel. How do we know this? Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 through 24, when he talks about the fact that he preaches Christ crucified, he goes on to say, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That Christ is the wisdom of God. And so when the church displays the manifold wisdom of God, it is displaying Jesus Christ. It is making him visible, his person and work visible, the gospel. And so often when we think about God's wisdom, we think about Proverbs, don't we? Neither turn to the left or to the right, but walk straight ahead. Go to the ant and consider it, you sluggard. It neither toils nor spins, but it gathers its harvest in summer, right? We think of these proverbs others like a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. And so we think of these wise sayings that God has given us in the Proverbs. And certainly that is the wisdom of God for how we are to live in this world. However, the Bible tells us that the highest display of God's wisdom is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this and Paul says it's the manifold wisdom of God. And the reason it's manifold, which means many, right? In fact, actually the Greek literally means, thank you, means many-colored wisdom of God. And so think of like Joseph in his coat of many colors in there. And so it reflects many different colors of God's wisdom, many different lights of his wisdom. And so here Paul's talking about, when he's talking about the God's manifold wisdom, he's talking about Christ and all that is Christ and all that flows from Christ, which includes the church. That means the gospel, the proclamation of the good news, his incarnation, his humiliation, his suffering on the cross, his redeeming sinners, his bearing God's wrath, his death and resurrection, his salvation through faith alone, by grace alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the scripture, revealed in the scripture alone. It means union with Christ, that when we're redeemed, all the redeemed are united, not only with Christ, but with one another. And it includes God making one new humanity out of two, both the Jew and Gentile, and uniting them as one in Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul means by the manifold wisdom of God. He's Christ, and all that flows from Christ. And so we are to display Christ. The gathered people of God are to make Christ known. And how do we do that? How do we do that in the church? How do we make Christ known? If it's about the personal work of Christ, the gospel, then the way we do that is through the Word of God. It's through proclaiming the Word of God. It's through preaching the Word of God. And so it is the Word of God, right, that creates the Christian community, that creates the church. Belief in the person and work of Jesus Christ comes through the Word, the gospel. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, does he not, that faith comes from hearing, and we come to faith through hearing the gospel, the Word of God, the hearing about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so if that's how we are constituted as a people and come together, then that's how we continue to display God's manifold wisdom. We know it, make it known through his Word. Which is then that the people of God then, therefore, we exalt Christ through his Word. That's how we exalt Christ. The church gathers together, regular to worship, right, to exalt Christ every Sunday. That's why we gather. And we do that through the Word of God. The Word of God is central in our service. Protestants, that's why we had the Reformation, to make the Word of God central to the life of the church. That's why there's a pulpit and a person standing in front of you preaching the Word, because the Word of God is central to the life of the church. It is how we exalt Jesus Christ. And we do that in everything that we do in our worship service. We exalt Christ through the Word. That's why here at North Stafford Baptist Church, everything we do from reading the Word, praying the Word, we hear the Word, we read the Word at the beginning, we pray the Word, we sing the Word, our songs, we make sure everything we sing is truth about God. And so even if it's not directly from the Word, it must align with the Word of God. We hold the Lord's Supper every Sunday, except this one. And why? Because the Lord's Supper displays the gospel. It makes visible the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so every Sunday we hold the Lord's Supper that we might display the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God is how the people of God exalt Jesus Christ. And that's why it matters how we worship. God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And this also means that, therefore, a church is not measured by how many people it has sitting in the chairs. Rather, a church's success is measured by their faithfulness to the Word of God. And so what a blessing that God has given us his Word. This is why we are called the people of the book. This is why preaching of God's Word is so central to everything that we do. And so here at North Stafford Baptist Church, and I know they have done it over the years, and we continue to do it, that our time and energy and focus is put into the proclamation of the gospel and the teaching of his Word. The Word of God forms our foundation and our heart of worship as we worship God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And so praise God not only for his church, but praise God for his Word, and praise God for his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know, it's not inappropriate, since we are celebrating 35 years of the life of this church, to even say praise God for the faithful pastors of the church who over the last 35 years have rightly divided the Word of truth and preached the gospel. At least that's what one member told me, and so I'm going to take her word for it in that. You see, the health of the church and its ability to make the gospel visible, it hinges on our faithfulness to the Word and the right preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The gathered people of God make visible the gospel in worship through his Word. And this is why not only is the church central to history, the church is central to the gospel. It is we who guard the faithful deposit. It is we who share the Word. God could have done it some other way, but he chose not to. He decided to do it through his people from the beginning of the world. Therefore, as we proclaim Christ, we are proclaiming the gospel, and so the church is central to the proclamation of the gospel in that. And so Christ, because Christ didn't come to just save people and send them back to their home. He saved people and he gathered them together in this community called the church, that we might exalt Jesus Christ and glorify God, our Father. Second, then, if the church makes visible the gospel by gathering together and exalting Jesus Christ, the second way that the church makes it visible is as we grow together in our edification by Jesus Christ, by his word and through Jesus Christ. And so what do I mean by that? What do I mean by edification? Edification just means to lift up, right? To build up is what that fancy word means. And so it's important then that we exalt Christ by being built up in Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? Well, if you would, turn with me to the end of chapter 2, because the first thing you have to realize is that how that happens is because God dwells in the midst of his people. God dwells in the midst of his people. Look at the end of chapter 2. Let me just say, in the beginning of chapter 2, Paul talks about justification by faith, right? That we're all saved by faith through grace. And then he goes on to talk about how Jesus has brought together both Jew and Gentile into one humanity, tearing down the dividing wall of hostility. And he's done it through his blood. And so here at the end of chapter 2, he says then, of course he's speaking to the Gentiles, but it applies to the Jews. He says, so then, verse 19, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you're also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Now, what Paul's talking about there is the church. And so the church is the new temple of God, where God dwells. That's what the temple was for, right? It was the place where God dwelt. And the temple no longer exists. That Christ did the new covenant. There's no longer a need for the temple. Christ is our sacrifice. And so now God has called the people. He's gathered them together in the church. And it is being built into a holy temple in the Lord, where God dwells in the midst of them, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And so one reason why we are being built up in Christ is because God is dwelling in our midst. He's building us into a place where God will dwell. And we know ultimately in Revelation, what are we told? That heaven comes down to earth and God dwells among us, right? And so God is building his church in that. And so we want to, God is glorified as we are being built together and edified in Jesus Christ, because he dwells in our midst. And so God gathered us together that we might build one another up in Jesus Christ. You see, we need each other, don't we? We need each other to follow Jesus Christ. I need you and you need me. We can't do it alone. It's hard alone. And so we need one another to encourage one another, to admonish one another, as Ephesians 4:15 says, to speak the truth in love to one another. And it goes on to say, we're to speak the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is what we call discipleship, right? Discipleship is simply helping one another follow Jesus Christ, to be like Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is made visible when the community obeys Christ's commands and people, its members, grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, when they become like him. In fact, you go to chapter 5, Paul brings this out where he tells us, he says in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, God is glorified when we become, not just individually, but when the community, the church, becomes like Christ. And that's why we're called to one another. That's why the Bible tells us 59 times, 59 times that we are to do something with one another. Love one another, pray for one another, welcome one another, be devoted to one another, stir one another up to love and good works, and on and so on, because we're trying to build one another up in Jesus Christ. And as we become like Christ, God is glorified and the gospel is made visible. And this is why God gathered these people, us together as a people, that in community we display, the church is to display together when we gather, not just on Sunday, but when we just gather together for life, we are to display the character and nature of Christ. You see, God is holy, and he calls the church to be holy, doesn't he? That God is love, and he calls us to love one another. God, in his Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is united, and the church, we are to be united in Christ, that we are to be unified. And when we're holy, and when we're loving one another, and when we're united, we make visible the gospel, don't we? Jesus himself said that he's given us a new command. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. And when you love one another, they will know you are my disciples. You see, our love for one another, the love that God has given us, it makes visible the gospel. I want to read an example of this, actually from this church that happened in 1988. I won't name the names. That's not important. I really want you to focus on what the person is saying. And so this is a couple who wrote the church after his mother died. And he writes, "Dear brother, our heartfelt thanks to you and all of our church family for the prayers, love, sympathy, support, and comfort so willingly provided to us as a result of mother's passing. We could not even attempt to single out those who did so much in organizing the food and other services, which were so lovely provided. It's certainly wonderful to be part of the family at North Stafford Baptist, and we love you all. Events of the past couple weeks have been difficult and made us realize all the more the importance of our relationship with the Lord. Without him and the support of those who truly love us in our beloved church family, these events would have been impossible to face. Serving him is not expected to be an easy task, and the most worthwhile compensation received is love. We will continue to strive to follow his leadership. You and our church will be in our daily prayers." What a wonderful example of the church making the gospel visible, of portraying the love of Jesus Christ. And so this is why the church exists, display the glory of God by how we live together as a church. That's why the church is central to Christian living, to living your life out as a Christian. And that's why it's so important to be a member of a local church where you're faithful to gather together, pray for, and serve and love other Christians. And so the Christian life, as we've already been shown in Ephesians, is meant to be lived in community, in the local church. In fact, this is not just Ephesians saying this, but all of the New Testament says that you cannot live the Christian life any other way but in community with other Christians. This is why God has redeemed you. This is why he has set you apart and placed you not only in the universal body of Christ, but in a local body. And the church is central to living out faith in Jesus Christ. But the third way that the church makes the gospel visible, displays the manifold wisdom of God, is as God's people come together and then scatter out. That's kind of seems like a paradox or a contradiction. As we come together and then scatter out to evangelize the world for Jesus Christ. And so first is the coming together. The coming together, we display the gospel in community when we come together. We display it through our worship, what I already mentioned. We display it when we live out the commands of Christ in community. But we also display it when we live it out among our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people we shop with at the grocery store or restaurants. And so among our non-Christian family members and friends, neighbors, colleagues, we should be inviting them into our lives And we should let them know our lives and to see our lives and have them opportunities to see how we live in a manner worthy of the gospel, an opportunity to hear us proclaim and pronounce the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when we do that, then we make visible the gospel. We share the person and work of Jesus Christ. But we not only do that as we live out our lives in our community, that God's people display God's wisdom to the world, or display it to the world. Jesus gave the great commission, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he tells the church to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe everything that I have commanded. And when we do that, we are displaying God's wisdom to the world. And often we read Matthew 28, the Great Commission, as an individual commission. But it's not an individual commission. It's a church commission. He is commissioning the church to go and make disciples. And it's not just a local church commission. He's telling the universal church to go and make disciples, to make known the wisdom of God to every tribe, tongue, and nation, because from the foundation of the world, he has redeemed a people from himself, starting with Abraham, the calling of Abraham, but now he calls people from every nation to come together and worship him. What a wonderful thing that you can come to a church and you see people who are not like you. And thank goodness they're not like me. And while the rest of the world may be saying, I just want to be with people like me, the church wants to be with people not like them. And because God brings everyone from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so when I am talking here about the church, I'm not talking about just North Stafford Baptist Church. I'm not just talking about the Southern Baptist Convention of what we're a part. And I'm not just talking about Western, the Western Church in the West. I'm talking about the church all over the world, that we are called to display the wisdom of God to everyone, every people, tribe, tongue, and purpose. Because this was God's eternal purpose from the beginning, to glorify his name through Jesus Christ, through the redemption of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And in fact, that's when we get to Revelation. Don't we see a picture of that in Revelation chapter 7? That they're before the throne, and it says there are people from every tribe, tongue, and nation praising him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a grand vision of what the church can be? Isn't that a great motivation for us as a church to see God's glory on display as people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are saved? And the great thing about Northern Virginia, they're all here, every tribe, tongue, and nation. So we don't have to go far to make it manifest among them in that. And so this is the glory of God, the glory of Christ in the church. It is the glory of the church when God brings together people from every background, every social status, every language, every culture, together as one, that show that the dividing wall of hostility has been torn down, that we can live together as it was meant to be in the garden from the beginning, that they were not to be alienated from one another, but to live in love, in relation to one another, as we love God and praise him and worship him. And so God has saved us, every people, together. Peter says we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people after his own possession, that we might proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he called us, that we might proclaim his excellencies. Once we were not God's people, he said, but now we are. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy through Jesus Christ. But now, now we are living stones, and we're being built up as a spiritual house so that we might offer spiritual sacrifices to our Lord Jesus Christ. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, I hope this moves you to say, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Which is why the church exists. We exist to glorify God. And so let me wrap up here. That Paul, when he says that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, he has told us that we as a church, whether it's North Stafford Baptist Church, whether it's Mount Ararat Baptist Church, whether it's a church in somewhere else in the world, that we exist to make known the glory of God to the cosmic powers. I just blows my mind when I think about that. That God created us so that even angels can know his glory. I mean, they're already standing before him. And yet they don't know the fullness of it until they get to know what Christ has done through his people in that. And so this means, as we think about, wrap up here, this means that there is much at stake for a church or any church, for every church. You see, it's not the style of music that is played that is important. It's not the color of the carpet or the walls that is important. It's not the length of the service, and I know some of you are thinking, boy, he's going really long. It's not the length of the service that matters. It's the very glory of God that is displayed throughout his creation that is the most important thing. So as a church, the gathered people of God here at North Stafford Baptist Church, and you who are members here celebrating with us today, and those of you who may be professing Christ but for some reason aren't a member, let us not forget why we celebrate today the life of a church, whether it be 5 years or 35 years or 150 years. The important thing is of the church is God's plan to glorify himself. And that's what the church does. And so let me end with this illustration, if I can, of the importance of the church. What does the prongs on a diamond ring do? It upholds the stone to be seen, right? You see, that's what the church is. It's the prongs on the diamond ring. The diamond is Jesus. He's our treasure. And we're holding up him. We're displaying him to the world. We're displaying him to the cosmic powers. We're glorifying him. That's what the prongs in the ring does. And that's what the church is. And so the church must be what God has created it to be so that Christ can be exalted and glorified. And so let me challenge you today that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, that you can know him by repenting of your sin and placing your faith in what God has done from the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. Or maybe we as Christians here today just need to repent of our apathy towards the church. Maybe we need to repent of our apathy towards Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It is to him that we give all the glory, both now and forevermore. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word to us today. And Father, forgive us if we have gone away thinking more of your church than we have of Jesus Christ. For we want to make much of Jesus Christ. We want to hold him up for the world to see, that they might come to know him and have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It's in his name we pray. Amen.